David Voinarovich is an artist at the center of the controversy over government funding of the arts. He was represented in last year's group show Witnesses Against Our Vanishing, Art About AIDS. The exhibition was at Artist Space in New York. The National Endowment for the Arts withdrew its funding from the show, then reinstated it, but with the stipulation that no endowment money be used to fund the catalog. The reason was the catalog essay, written by Voinarovich, which attacked prominent political and religious figures. Earlier this year, Voinarovich had a retrospective exhibition at the Illinois State University Galleries in Normal, funded in part by the NEA. Reverend Donald Wildman is spearheading the attack against the reauthorization of the NEA. One of his recent mass mailings was headlined, "Your tax dollars helped pay for these, quote, works of art." Below were sexually explicit images taken from Voinarovich's multimedia works. This week, Voinarovich took Wildman to court for violating his copyright and distorting his work by taking it out of context. The judge issued a temporary injunction against the pamphlet. A full decision is expected in a month. Voinarovich described how Wildman used his art.
What he did was he excised from the images small fragments that dealt with sexual activity or depicted sexual activity that were in a political and artistic context, stripped the context from around the image, and then presented that image as the full work. Put my name on it, and he did this to 14 images, three of which were not sexual in nature, and sent them around the country.
What charges were made about your art in the literature that was sent out with images from your work in it?
Well, it was sent out in an envelope that was marked a warning, extremely offensive materials enclosed or something. I don't have the envelope in front of me, so that's an approximate description of it. What he did was essentially reduce my work by stripping out all the artistic and political context that I place images in. He basically left the very strong impression that my work consists of solely nothing more than a banal pornography.
Now, you're saying that he took one component of a larger mixed media collage work,
right,
and blew that up and presented that as being representative of your work. You've been working with mixed media images,
right,
for a long time. Tell us a little bit about why you work in that form.
I guess emotionally and intellectually, it's the only way that I can represent what my experience in the world is. I mean, I do a lot of things. I write, I make videos, films, performances, paintings, photographs, etc. But the mixed media is, in terms of the paintings, is, and some of the photographs, is just about the only way that I can approximate, you know, what it feels like to live in America at this point in time. Given that when we walk out in the street, we're so heavily bombarded with visual information, whether it's store signs, newspaper covers, magazine covers, advertising, etc., that I like to use a variety of media that somehow approximates what it's like to walk down a street or to move through space in contemporary America.
One of the issues that brought your work into the center of national controversy was the 1989 group show called Witnesses Against Our Vanishing, about the influence of AIDS on aesthetic, sexuality, and culture. This was a group show at a gallery called Artist Space in New York. What was your reaction when, after the NEA reinstated money for the show, it still refused to fund the catalog because of your essay?
Oh, I found it very distressing because it sent out a message. It set a precedent in terms of funding that now single objects can be separated from a show because somebody doesn't like their political content. Two, it sent a message to institutions around the country, publicly funded institutions, that they shouldn't deal with work that might be critical in terms of politics.
Let's talk about how you started making art. Now, you came from a really rough family background. Your father abused your mother. You ended up in an orphanage for a while. Then your father kidnapped you from the orphanage. And you've written that you later threw yourself into sex, and you became a hustler for a while. How did you start making art?
I made things on and off for years since childhood. And by the time I got off the streets, I was living on the streets for a period of time. By the time I got off, when I was about 17 or 18, I had to turn to making things because I basically could never find a place in contact with people to ever express what I had experienced.
Well, how did you get off the streets?
It was pretty complicated. I met an individual in Times Square who had picked me up and who let me live with him in a very small apartment he had on 45th off 8th Avenue. And he was a thief and he was a con man. And he was working in a halfway house for young men coming out of prison as a counselor on falsified psychology degrees. And at some point, he got tired of me living with him, and he asked me if I would like to go to this halfway house where I'd have my own room, et cetera. And so in a very odd, roundabout way, he gave me help.
You must have seen yourself as an outsider from the art world. And I think, in fact, early on in your work, you did a series of pieces that were designed to confront the art world.
Not so much to confront. I think my feelings of whatever I've made has always been to put into a public arena something that was very real to me. And whether it was a series of issues, whether it was a series of images that dealt with reality, as opposed to whatever social code that at times is imposed on reality.
Well, can you describe, though, what some of those early pieces were like? Like, for instance, the piece that you did, was it inside or outside one of Castelli's galleries?
Oh, that was an action installation. I did that with an artist, musician, Julie Hare, who was a musician in a band that I was in the late 70s. And we did it, we wanted it to do a series of what we called action installations, which were basically uninvited installations. And we wanted to open up an idea of what culture was to us as opposed to what was handled by, you know, basically rich white people. And we did an installation dealing with hunger, and we went to Castelli's staircase on Lower Broadway at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday afternoon when the art world is madly rushing around. And we brought a couple of 100 pounds of bloody cow bones from a meat market on 14th Street, dumped them into the staircase, did a painting, a stencil painting with spray paint of an empty plate, a knife and a fork, and then military bombers and houses in flames and figures recoiling on the wall, and then left. And nobody, you know, seemed to think anything was amiss as we were preparing the installation. I mean, I imagine they thought it was just part of the art world.
How did you actually get into the world of galleries in New York?
It was sort of by accident. I was spray painting things in the streets. I was spray painting things on abandoned cars. I lived down around 4th Street and Bowery, and there were there would be car wrecks in the area, or cars would be towed there, disabled cars, and they would sit there for literally years. So I started spray painting images of war on these cars, and they'd be towed overnight. So I found it was a great way to start cleaning up the area that I was living in. And at some point, somebody had seen my work in the streets and met somebody who knew me and asked me to participate in a group show. And I had never really done what I considered paintings. And I went home and I worked on some and gave them to them. And then the gallery asked me if I wanted to have a one-person show. So I did, and it sort of went on from there.
Mm-hmm. Now, a few years ago, your lover died of AIDS, and you have AIDS now. And I wonder if the reality of AIDS has refocused the subject of a lot of your art, the content.
Yes, I would. I mean, I've always painted what I see and what I experience and what I perceive, so it naturally has a place in the work. I think, not all the work I do is about AIDS or deals with AIDS, but I think it's the threads of it are in the other work as well.
Has it been easy for you to work now between problems with your health and all the energy that's been taken up with controversy surrounding your art?
Actually, it makes it difficult to work. And, it's very time-consuming and attention-consuming, so I have found it difficult. I mean, I've managed to continue working on a smaller level, but you know, I'm hoping that once this trial is out of the way that I can continue.
How's your health?
It's been okay. I mean, it's been up and down.
Since so much of your art is political, do you in a way welcome the opportunity to take an even stronger political stand through lawsuits and through having work that becomes the focal point of controversy?
I don't know. I don't welcome that. And I find that being involved in a lawsuit, that it what it's doing is preventing me from continuing working, because all my attention has to go to, you know, the issue of this lawsuit and dealing with it. I'm looking forward to this being over with, so I can go back to work and go back to some a fair sense of quietness, etc. That I find it very, very disruptive.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
Sure.
Artist David Voinarovich. We contacted the office of Reverend Donald Wildman of the American Family Association. He declined to comment or be interviewed.